This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, Joe Pato, and Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Tyler, Joe, and Doug for another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Oh my God, was that such the fire new intro that we have here on the show. Absolutely. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
That was face melting. Like, I'm just sitting here soiling myself.
It was awesome. Loved it.
Oh, it is absolutely phenomenal. And it's, we're bringing the energy. We've revamped the show. I'm the new host, Doug Eddy. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and Mr. Joe Rico Pano. We are going to bring the fire all night long. We are here this week. We're going to cover some news and notes. We are going to cover our trap players. So if you're a Star Wars fan, it could be, it's a trap, Admiral Akbar. Or if you're a hip-hop fan, it could be trap music, which I'm not really into because I think it sucks. But to each their own. And we are also to cover some sponsors, aren't we, Tyler? Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got.
So let's roll into that before we get into news. The first one I want to talk about is the Fantasy Footballers Draft Kit. It is absolutely phenomenal. So I bought it last week, and I have been deep diving into a lot of different aspects of it. First of all, I got to say, Perception is awesome. Tons of great information. You can see the routes that are run. I actually got a better understanding of my love for Willie Snead this year based on Reception Perception and seeing the metrics that were in there. Absolutely awesome. There's you can watch on players. The ranks are being constantly updated. There's articles, there's sleepers, there's all sorts of stuff. Tyler, what do you think about the draft kit?
I love it. Like last week, the player videos for the year are great. I mean, you get to sit there and you get to watch these guys like on their YouTube show talk about the ultimate draft kit and all these players that they like. You know, you can go through the quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. They have podcasts that come out for people who have ultimate draft kit. They have dynasty rookie rankings. It's great. They're constantly updating it. And it's not like those magazines you get and you bought off the shelf in June.
Information's old.
Yeah, this is always updating. And that's the annoying part about those magazines. You're like, wow, okay, all right. There was like one a year or two ago where a player got cut from the team. And he was highly ranked. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why? And then an injury happens in training camp. That magazine is outdated because you're not going to bring that magazine into your draft in late August and go in and go off that magazine because there could be many injuries. These guys update it, which is great. And where you have to go to get it is you have to go to ultimatedraftkit.com, use code DHH, and you will get 10% off your ultimate draft kit. You won't regret it. You're going to roll into this draft knowing everything. Last year, I brought my tablet in, and I was on that thing scrolling through ranks. Worked awesome for me. Once again, go to ultimatedraftkit.com, use code DHH, and get your 10%.
Absolutely. You just need to know that the Fantasy Footballers put in so much work into this draft kit. It's ridiculous. I mean, we do podcasts and I write and, you know, a few of us write and it's a lot of work for me, but the amount of work that they put in is absolutely phenomenal. So kudos to those guys. So make sure you check that out. And while you're on your computer, make sure you check out the Sitter Start app as well. So a really unique app that's really, really taking over the fantasy football industry. It gives you player comparisons for your hard to figure out flex spot. And you can also do player compare voting. So you can go in if you've got a hard decision to make in a flex spot or you're really deep at running back and you're trying to decide between three guys and you can only start two of them. You can put that right in the app or on the website and it's going to give you the information that you need in order to make the right decision. 70% success rate last year in 2016. And in 2017, they've done a ton of updates to the website. You've got things like RotoWorld News is right on the app. You've got league leaders for points, fantasy projections. If you play DFS, there's also FanDuel and DraftKings, which is pretty awesome. And there's links to this particular podcast as well as two others. I know one that's called Trophy Time that's pretty swell. You might want to check it out if you're into redraft. So go to sitterstart.net/DHH or on the app, choose DHH for how you heard of them. So if you sign up and you purchase the app on the App Store, it's going to give you a referral right on there. So you can type in DHH. And that always goes back to the pod and tells us, you know, tells them who's listening and where it's coming from. So make sure you check out the Sitter Start app. It is absolutely awesome. And last but not least, we have playdraft.com, which is a DFS site. But the one different thing that they have is best ball drafts. So Tyler, can you talk to me a little bit about Playdraft?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm actually in a draft right now with the Falafel House guys and a couple people from Twitter. And it's great.
Nice.
You can literally share that league, push it out and say, hey, I need people to join this league. That's what Sal and I did. Kind of did it as just to get everybody in this app because you're missing out if you're not in it. And I know Sal, who's probably listening to this, will agree with me. It's a must have. The app is so clean, so easy to use. And you can have long draft times or short draft times for 30-second quick fire picks. I mean, there was a draft that I did in literally less than 20 minutes. It was great. Like, you have to be on your phone at all times. You have to be drafting. Otherwise, you're going to time out. It's fantastic. It's intense. You're kind of on the spot. It's like that panic, like, oh, crap. Who am I going to take? Do I need a tight end? It's awesome. And it's...
Yeah, I think the cool thing about that is we're in a we want it now society, right?
Yes.
So that gives you that option to do that, which is absolutely phenomenal. So what we want you to do to check it out is go on playdraft.com/DHH. And when you put $10 into your account, just $10, that's like a couple coffees at Dunkin' Donuts. You get a free $10 best ball entry with that. So it's almost like doing it for free.
On and everybody loves
playdraft.com. Yeah, free is phenomenal. So go on playdraft.com/DAH and check that out, please. So now, without further ado, some news and notes. So the first thing I want to talk about, because we didn't really talk about it last week, is Ezekiel Elliott and his pending suspension rumors. Now, we all know that there was Adam Schefter tweeted and they're expecting a short suspension for Zeke Elliott, maybe one or two games, but that was before he supposedly punched someone at a club, a DJ, and now he's had some traffic violations. Just it seems like things are piling up for Mr. Zeke himself. So I'm going to go to Joe here because we haven't really heard Joe's voice yet. So Joe,
it's getting juicy.
Elliott in your ranks. What do you think? Are you kind of like not feeling the Elliott love, or you think he's just going to maybe get one or two games?
It's getting juicy, guys. It's getting juicy. You know, Zeke definitely has the talent. But yeah, there's a lot to digest with this. I'm kind of more of a hold mode. I really want to hear a little bit more. But yeah, for the immediate future, it looks like he's going to take a little bit of a step back in terms of if he has to miss a couple games, but it could be a little bit more. I mean, it's definitely something to be nervous about if, you know, he already had the domestic assault, domestic violence case hanging over his head.
Yeah, and he had the parade float where he took the girl's top down and
the nip flip. Yeah.
She was asking for it.
whoa!
Oh, Jesus, Tyler, we're not opening that door.
It was a sarcastic tone to my voice. I hope everybody heard.
DHH does not. I think I must watch you. no, so it's definitely something to take pause about. I'm not ready to move him down too much, but it's definitely something for the first couple games. You need to have, you know, a backup plan. And if you're drafting Zeke or if you already have Zeke, it might be necessary to have kind of like a backup plan, whether that's DMC, you know, Darren McFadden or Alfred Morris kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe trading for like Terrence West for like the first few weeks of the season.
Hey, they worked out Denard Robinson and Ronnie Hillman this week. Ooh.
Yeah. Yes, those yeah. are that's a big deal. But yeah, you know, I think you just need to have a game plan. I'm not ready to move him down too much, but you definitely have to make some plans, just like the Cowboys might have to make some other plans.
Yeah, and I think when anytime you have a player that is starting to have a history of things happen, it's you're going to see some red flags. So I think if you believe in Zeke, you could probably buy him for the lowest price ever right now. You're still going to have to give up some good pieces in order to do that. But you know, the future headache, people have seen it with Josh Gordon, Martavis Bryant, and people are regretting hanging on to those guys because they didn't get the value back for them when it's all said and done. So the next big news and notes, and that's with Mike Williams. So it's one of his first practices with the Los Angeles Chargers, tweaks his back. There's been rumors of he may need season-ending surgery. There's been some people that are saying it's not a big deal. So do you think that – obviously he's going to hurt his draft stock. So Scott Fishbowl, I was in round 21, and Mike Williams finally got picked. He was the best player available for multiple rounds. So when we're talking dynasty – you know, where do you think Mike Williams, what would you give for Mike Williams in a draft right now? And do you think this puts him in more of like a Josh Doctson or Kevin White type of area unknown? What, I guess the bottom line is, Tyler, what would you pay for Mike Williams in a draft right now?
I'm not sure. The 2018 first, I like. Mike Williams was number 7 in my ranks and still is, because I think he's still a talented guy. It's hard because you see a trend with players like this, like Doctson and Kevin White. You see players that struggle a lot to get their feet under them and to impress coaches because they're never on the field. Mm-hmm. And with a back, like, that's pretty serious. Your back, you need. So I just...
It's like one of the larger parts of your body.
Yeah. I fear that if this is going to be a reoccurring issue, that I'd have trouble giving up an 18 first. A couple seconds, maybe you still, I have no idea why, but you still haven't had your rookie draft. You should be able to get him pretty late. I actually am in a rookie draft, but we just started this. We just started the league literally a week ago. And we wanted to have the rookie draft before our auction. We wanted to split the two. And Mike Williams went 9. And that's about where these type of players go. I mean, you saw Kevin White drop. You saw Doctson drop. You saw Devonta Parker. You saw Parker drop in rookie drafts when he started getting hurt back in 2015. So, I mean, he's a value right now. And I would buy if I can. I'm honestly just not sure what I would give for him, because the trend of these type of players doesn't give me hope.
So just to go ahead.
I was going to say, I would have a hard time giving up a 2018 first for him, I think. I mean, I hate to be the, like, well, next year's class is going to be a great class, because that happens every goddamn year, right? But I, you know, I think I'm feeling really good about 2018, and I think I probably wouldn't give up a 2018 first for him. But Joe, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted to put it in perspective in terms of the difference between him and, like, a, you know, Josh Doctson or Kevin White. With Mike Williams, I don't think you could really expect him to produce that much this year anyway. I mean, definitely he should have, you know, I think he probably should have had surgery earlier on. This is a herniated disc, right, that we're talking about in his back. You know,
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's something that is very painful, very serious, but it's usually going to require surgery, and it's not going to like be the end of his, you know, career or anything like that. It's usually something that you can, you know, get through. You just have to have surgery and kind of move on. But the problem is he waited too long. So he was already kind of behind Keenan Allen and, you know, just there's a plethora of weapons there. So he wasn't really going to be on the radar, you know, the first year anyway, in my opinion. Like, he was going to be like fourth in the pecking order. So, I mean, his long-term career, I think, is going to be fine. He just needs to get this, you know, get over this and then, you know, move on to the next year. I think he'll be on PUP. I don't think it'll end his season. I think he should be able to, you know, come back and play like maybe half the year or something, right?
Yeah, you just kind of hope that he'll be back before the end of the year.
Back, nice. I see what you did there. Tyler with those jokes, man.
Yeah, well, it's a great transition to move on from Mike Williams. So let's do a little bit of rapid fire here. We've got a few more bullet points, but I want to get through them before we get into our trap players, which is our main feature for the day. So Sterling Shepard recently said, Sterling Shepard recently said that he should be able to feast in the slot. So I want to ask you guys, do you think his stats go up line? And do you think Evan Engram is going to eat into his targets in year one? So I'm going to go to Joe first and just give me like a couple quick bullet points on what you think.
Okay, so real quick, I think they'll decline, but specifically because of the touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns last year. There's no way he's due for regression in that regard. I think he can still have 50 to 60 catches possibly, but you got Odell Beckham, you got Brandon Marshall, you added in Engram and things like that. So I don't think that he'll lose like a ton of catches. I mean, he might get like 50. 55 catches or something like that, but the touchdowns are sure to go down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some pretty sterling analysis there. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I can actually agree with that. I can maybe see his yardage getting up to because I could see his yardage going to 700 or so. He was at around 600, 8 touchdowns with 60 catches, I want to say. 60 some catches, 600 some yards, hot analysis right there. But I could see the yardage going up a little bit because I do see that offense opening up. You got Beckham in a contract year, so he's going to definitely get his. He is hungry. I think Brandon Marshall, I feel like people are really pushing him up on a pedestal in the red zone.
Not me.
Yeah. I'm
out on Brandon Marshall. I'm out.
I think Shepard can still get 6 to 8 touchdowns just because he's so quick in that red zone, kind of like how Randall Cobb was in that year for Green Bay when he had 12. I could see him being that, short slant, quick off the line, get him the ball right away, and all he has to do is literally walk in. I mean, there's going to be no running game. Maybe they run through the air. I don't know if you believe in Smash Jackson, as the footballers would say, or if you believe in Wayne Gallman. Smash Jackson is literally...
I believe in Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen's going to get catches. He's proved that he is a glass figure when he runs the ball a decent amount. He's going to get broken.
In terms of Shepard, I think he's a good buy low now for the future. Yeah. I think he'll have a decent season, but really next year I think is what you're really looking for. Because, I mean, Brandon Marshall's, I don't know, maybe this year that's it, right? I mean, I don't really expect him to be sticking around too long. And, so next year I think he'll have even bigger opportunities. So definitely a good time to get on it now.
Yeah.
So let's move on to another receiver based in the state of New York, albeit further northwest, and that is Mr. Sammy Watkins. So he came out this week and said that he is close to 100%. He's had 2 surgeries on his foot. So a la, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, that have all had similar issues and similar surgeries and have come back and being able to be productive players. If he has a breakout this year, where do you think he would go in a startup? And second part of that question, right now, are you trying to buy low on Sammy Watkins? He's in a walk year. They're not going to franchise him or anything like that. So Tyler, Sammy Watkins.
I love me some Sammy Watkins. And honestly, you guys, I think he's going to have a gigantic year.
I think
it's going to be huge. We have seen, like I talk about with Mike Williams, the trend. You see a trend with the second surgery of this injury, them coming back like their normal self. And they're pain-free. Yep. I mean, they can actually do the things they did before they actually had this injury. And I feel confident enough to say, Sammy's going to have a huge year, and he will be a top 10 dynasty pick next year. Like, he will be ahead of Michael Thomas, who jumped up at, I'd say 13 overall or so.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. And I think the Bills, I want to say they're going to let him walk. They don't want to pay him.
I think you're probably right about that, which is sad to say, because I view Sammy Watkins as an elite talent in this league who's just had some injury issues. But when he's on the field, he's productive. So I would totally get – I'm very interested to see next year if Sammy doesn't return to the Bills. And like you said, I don't think it's likely where he ends up, because if he ends up in the right system, whew.
People are saying San Fran, and if he does end there, we've seen what Shanahan does to the wide receiver one. and that will only up Watkins' value. They will hopefully have a quarterback. I mean, Hoyer's not bad. Let's be honest. If Hoyer's still there,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if Hoyer's still there, and I'm kind of a closet fan of CJ Beathard, just because Shanahan knows what the heck he's doing with quarterbacks. Okay. I do think they will draft a quarterback next year. Saying that, I don't think they will be. It'll be a higher pick this year, and it's a good quarterback class. Whoever they get is going to need time to learn that system. But if Sammy goes there,
unless it's Kirk Cousins.
Oh God, Sammy and Kirk. Yeah. That would Kirk. Be, yeah, Kirk. That would be music. That'd be like, beautiful music.
That'd be like Boner Jams 08.
It would be like our Flamin' Hot intro.
So confused right now. So, I mean, Sammy Watkins, guys. I would just give you my quick take on it. I love him as a talent, but the one thing that I have a concern with, and I think Matt Harmon actually pointed this out, is he's a phenomenal route runner. He's really talented, but like when he does battle through those foot injuries, his play kind of drops off, from what I remember. So he, like Julio Jones, battles through those foot injuries and things like that. But Sammy Watkins, from what I remember in his reception perception from the years before, is that he doesn't quite play up to that same talent, that same quickness, and those same cutting abilities that he does when he's battling through it. So if he still struggles with that foot, that's going to be an issue. So I'm less bullish than you guys, but definitely on him with in terms of talent.
Let's be honest.
I'm willing to take the risk on him.
Yeah, let's be honest with Julio. Julio gets hurt. He doesn't feel pain.
He's a cyborg.
Yeah, like he'll have a broken foot. He'll play through it, and he'll literally have to have people tell him, "Hey, dude, your bone's showing." Oh my God, I don't feel that. Like Julio Jones is a different beast.
He's like the Adrian Peterson of receivers.
Yeah. Just don't retire early, Julio.
Yes, good analogy. So let's move on to Cleveland. Let's get on a plane from Buffalo and go to Cleveland. Probably a quick hour flight.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
Let Doug take his pants off on this one and talk about this guy.
No comment. So this is my boy. I own him everywhere. David the Chief Njoku is building rapport with Deshaun Kaiser. So first I want to ask you, and I know what Tyler's answer is going to be, and if you listen to this podcast, you know what Tyler's answer is going to be. So I'm going to go to Joe first, because Tyler, you don't really need to say much here. But first, will Kaiser end up being the starter for Cleveland? And if yes, will David Njoku be his go-to target? Joe.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to put my GM hat on. I'm going to say not right away, but I think he will play at some point. I think what
we are actually currently looking for a new co-host. So
Doug, I guess he's saying
just all over again.
All right, so I gotta go, but before I go, let me tell you why I'm saying that. So Cody Kessler was actually a little bit better than people, want to give him credit for. I think they want to kind of see, what they have with him a little bit more, but they also want to see what they have with Kaiser before, the next year's draft and things like that. So I think they'll both get some work for sure. I think Kaiser towards the later end of the year, he's a little, I don't think he's ready. He's a little rough around the edges as a prospect to just kind of get thrown right in there. So I think, halfway through the season, if Kessler struggles a little bit, then we'll see him for sure. But Njoku, I mean, he should be everybody's favorite target.
Yeah, he's Njoku.
No way.
Not at all.
No, going back to Kaiser, okay. Kessler, he played better than what we expected. But when you're compared to a poor man's Alex Smith,
yeah, his arm strength was kind of bunk.
And you're playing Kessler. You're playing in Cleveland. It's cold. I do think Kaiser will actually be the week one starter because of what Joe said. They want to get a look at how he is. Hugh Jackson is literally taking him under his wing and teaching him every little bit of that playbook, because I think they're like, we're going to play him this year. If we lose, oh well. We have a couple more years as a coaching staff to get this thing figured out. I think they know what Kessler is. He's a good backup quarterback in the NFL. He's a serviceable backup. But with Kaiser, he is a ball of clay you can mold into a very, very good quarterback. He up in the head. He needs a little work. He needs a little work on his like his intangibles. You know, like with Dak Prescott, he's a team player. With Kizer, it's literally arm talent. This guy can throw the ball, and I think that's so what they want.
You bring up Dak Prescott's name, and I in my range of outcomes for Kizer, I think he could be a poor man's Dak Prescott this season. So he's got the offensive line, improved offensive line in front of him. They've got a solid run game. They may use Duke Johnson out of the slot. There's some news for you. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
But they've got Kenny Britt. They've got Corey Coleman. They've got a lot of stuff around him. They've got Njoku. I don't see why, like, the range of outcomes that Kizer couldn't be maybe a less efficient and end up being like a fringe QB1 or a high-end QB2. I think it's in the range of outcomes, and you know, some people will be like, there's no effing way. But I believe in Kizer.
Listening by now, so
that's fine. I believe in Kizer, so I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to the table. Let's roll into week.
The only thing I really wanted to say is if you go back and watch Kizer's film, he will make passes where like that is the first overall pick, and then he'll make a pass where like that is the first undrafted free agent teams will go for.
Real fast, guys. Real fast. I'm not going to drag this out, but Kizer definitely has the talent. Kessler, though, placed first in accuracy percentage while under pressure, despite a league-high 47.5% pressure rate, according to Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus. His passer rating while under pressure ranked sixth, and his completion percentage was second highest when feeling a pass rush. So, hey,
if Cody Kessler was on a team with a good defense, that might work.
Okay, move on.
Are we good now? We're done. Yeah, we're putting Kizer to bed.
I just had to defend Kessler a little.
No, I like Kessler. I thought he was decent last year, but he's not going to win games, and he's not going to lose games for them.
He also has a tendency to get injured as well.
Yeah, Cleveland is a team where it's like, who cares this year? I mean, we have two first rounders and two second rounders next year. Why not throw this kid out there to see what we have? He was a second round pick. If we lose, we didn't lose much. And with Kessler, like I said, if they had a very strong defense, this team could contend in the AFC North. But they have a growing defense. They have a defense that isn't quite there yet. So
I think they could easily boost his stock a little bit if he plays pretty well, and they could trade him away and keep, and then play Kizer in this, you know, later on in the year or something like that. But anyways, that's just, you know, free front
guys,
office.
Thing. I'm gonna wrap up the Kizer talk, and let's not forget that Brock Osweiler's in town. Okay.
Oh, okay. We'll move on.
Yeah, that's a good way to just pop the balloon right there. Right. So now we are officially going to put DeShone Kizer to bed. John Kizer.
Okay.
So let's move on to our trap players. So these are players that we believe are going to be a trap this season. So if you have them on your roster, you know, sell them because their stock is at an all-time high. And we don't think they're going to really produce based on their ADP this season. So do I have a volunteer of who would like to kick us off in a hot, fiery fashion?
I'll go.
Talk to me.
My first one is Davante Adams. And I know Adams has been that kind of one year he's kind of left for dead. Next year he's worth a first. The year after that he's left for dead. And then all of a sudden he breaks out for 75 catches, 97 yards, and 12 touchdowns. I get the high-powered offense with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes anybody good. He can even give hopes and dreams to people like Jeff Janis.
Geronimo Allison.
Yeah, if he wasn't suspended for that one game. Right, Gabe? Right, Gabe?
But coming from a Vikings fan, you know, I'm sure that's hard for you to say.
No, I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers, to be honest. I like everything about him. Who he's about. Yeah.
I don't like everything about him. I don't think he's a team leader, but whatever.
But the touchdowns I feel like will go down because they have Marty Bennett in there, Martellus Bennett. I think he's going to get some red zone targets that they actually gave to Davante Adams. I mean, Martellus Bennett is a monster of a man, and they have not had a tight end like this since JaMychal Finley. And I actually think he's better than JaMychal Finley as a talent. I think the running game I think the running game is actually better. I think Ty Montgomery is actually going to show better
That's
than
my
what
boy.
People expect. I think you hear rumors of Jamal Williams kind of being that That's bruiser, the late quarter bruiser, which I could actually see kind of giving Montgomery that 15 carries a game. And then at the end of the games, putting Jamal Williams out there, kind of just letting him blow through people. And then you got Aaron Jones, who's a pass catching back, who, you know, you've heard rumors is going to have some snaps too. I think they're going to have an easier time running the ball, which gives me the belief that Adams will actually decline in stats. I think his catches might stay the same, but I think his yardage will probably drop and his touchdowns will definitely regress.
So he's currently the in startup ADP right now. He's the 28th pick.
That's extreme for me.
That's very rich.
That's French silk pie rich.
Yeah, I would be a seller of Davante Adams if I could. So Joe Adams, who's your guy?
Well, who's your pano in the butt player?
Oh boy, Tyler. Oh boy. Okay, I'll take my licks. It's okay. I'm the third wheel. I'm kind of getting fresh in here. So
hey,
you know, I'll take my licks
off camera. Remember.
Okay, so I would say my easy fade for Dynasty would be Jordan Reed. I love him for redraft. As long as you have a plan, but yeah, one more concussion and he's. He's likely done. According to Jeremy
Funk, Scarecrow. He'll be the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz if he has one more.
If you know, according to DLF
for him.
Deuce. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, I might as well just drop the mic after that one. You know, according to Jeremy Funk, DLF Deuce, nobody has played past 7 documented concussions. Jordan Reed has 6. So, I'm from Washington, D.C. originally. I'm a big Redskins fan, even though sometimes I hate to admit it. But no, I love him as a talent. Love Jordan Reed as a talent. But, I mean, the injuries scare me, especially the concussion. So that's somebody to really fade to me in Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so he's currently DLF. He's the 44th overall startup pick, sandwiched in between Martavis Bryant and Corey Coleman.
Yeah. I mean, his value, if that happens, is going to be like a needle in a haystack. You're not going to be able to find it.
I mean, he'll retire.
the hay jokes, that's where we're going.
Jesus. So I'm going to give you my trap player, and it is also a tight end. We're going to do back-to-backs here. And mine is Travis Kelce. So the reason mine is Travis Kelce is he's currently the 33rd overall pick in a startup tight end premium league. I have a hard time paying for a guy that has a career high in touchdowns of 5. 5 in his second year, because his rookie year he only played 1 game. He went 5, 5, and 4. So I know he had a phenomenal year last year, and everything makes him look great because he was the tight end 1. But this was the year that Gronk was hurt, and he would have been the tight end 1 if he was healthy, because he was having a phenomenal season before he went down. So, I mean, Kelce, 117 targets, 85 receptions, 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns. I'll pick in a dynasty startup. I am not investing in Travis Kelce. And if I owned him, I would probably be a seller. I think, you know, when you look long term, I think Alex Smith is the guy again this year, and you kind of know what you're going to get with Alex Smith. But once Mahomes, you know, comes into the fold, maybe as early as 2018, I don't know that necessarily helps Kelce, because Mahomes has a completely different skill set. I think that helps guys like Chris Conley. That'll help a Tyreek Hill or maybe another receiver that's on the roster or someone that they draft. But Kelce, I think that we've seen this is going to be his peak. So I always try to sell guys at their peak. And a trap player for me, having Kelce on my team, I just don't expect him to break 1,000 yards again. And I'm not feeling Travis Kelce. What do you guys think?
No, he's a player I'm selling. If I had him, I would get rid of him. And on a side note, do you guys have a really good feeling about Mahomes? Like, this guy's just going to be great.
I really like Mahomes.
I just think this guy's going to be the golden child.
He's got a high ceiling for sure. I think he went to a great situation. As far as Kelce, I'm not really. I definitely think that, you know, you might see some regression a little bit, but honestly, I'm still fine with Kelce there. It's just the lack of touchdowns that's concerning. When you have a tight end, I kind of, you know, I want some touchdown upside. I feel like Kelce doesn't really offer that much, especially with Smith. But I don't think that Mahomes starting is a reason to fade him necessarily.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, when you look at the long-term scope, I think that's, you know, that's a potential reason, because I think Alex Smith relies on Kelce because Alex Smith is an intermediate passer. So it fits his strength perfectly, you know? So
no, I totally get that. I just think that you can kind of compensate for that by opening up the offense a little bit, and then, you know, he might have some deeper targets and things like that now. But yeah, I see where you're going with that for sure.
Yeah. Kelce, see you later.
Okay, so I got one more, guys.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, Joe, we're gonna go back to you and then we're gonna get to Tyler. So hit us up. What do you got?
All right. So Carlos Hyde to me is a big sell. I mean, eventually, you know, maybe he'll land in another spot. I'm not necessarily against him initially in San Francisco, but, you know, he's going to be, a holdover for Shanahan coming in. You know, he didn't draft him or anything like that. It's a different scheme for his skill set. I think that, you know, they brought in Tim Hightower right away. They brought in they traded up to get Joe Williams. They even traded for Capri Bibbs. You know, they signed Matt Breda for like the max, like, undrafted free agent bonus amount. You know, there's a crowded backfield now. Like, I think he'll still be the starter starting out, but the writing's on the wall, I feel like. And, you know, if he gets injured or if he struggles a little bit, you know, maybe halfway through the season or something like that, he might be out or, something like that. I don't think he's in the long-term plans. You got to hope at that point if he lands in a better spot for his skill set. So, you know, I'm selling Carlos Hyde. I think he's a trap.
I mean, his injury history concerns me. But I think if he were to put together a healthy season, I think that he could off at his ADP. I mean, it's just a matter of how much they want him. And I don't think we're going to know until – you know, it might be too late at that point if you're trying to, you know, sell him. But I think if you have him on your roster, if you're in your roster construction and you own Carlos Hyde, I mean, you should kind of temper your expectations to begin with just based on his history. What do you think, Tyler?
No, I think if you have him, you're holding just for the fact that I don't think you can get what you actually should get for him. If he has
a trap, I'm not saying you necessarily are going to get a whole lot. I'm just saying I think he's kind of a
no.
Of a
I agree. I'm the type of dynasty player, especially with players like him, that if I saw Carlos Hyde have a huge game on a player that I'm not sure I believe in, yeah, I would sell.
So like week one in 2015?
Oh, yeah. Royd, Minnesota. Yeah, I would sell.
Sorry, buddy.
You guys always forget I'm a Falcons fan first. So, but yeah, I would definitely sell.
I don't forget.
Yeah. Patrick Farm remembers, but.
We'll look at this later on in the year. We'll see who was right.
I'm kind of between. Like, I'm not a big Hyde fan. I see the writing on the wall. I mean, they trade up for Joe Williams. I think Capri Bibbs is also a threat. But my next guy is actually DeMarco Murray. And I get he's kind of on the end of his career, but people are still kind of maybe expecting not this year, but next year being his last year. But for me, he had a renaissance year last year. He had 293 carries, 1,287 yards, 9 touchdowns, and then 53 catches, 377 yards, and 3 touchdowns receiving. I feel like the Titans offensive line really helped out with that success. He was good. Like, don't get me wrong. He was good. But I didn't see any explosion. Like, when you saw him in the open field, you're just like, who is that sloth with the football? He reminded me a lot of Latavius Murray. They're like, oh, Latavius is off to the races. Not really. Like, he's not going to beat anybody, especially the linebackers these days. I mean, you're not going to outrun a linebacker with DeMarco Murray or Latavius Murray. But the thing is, Derrick Henry is there waiting. And it's literally only a matter of time before the Titans see, kind of like the whole Delvin Cook, Latavius Murray thing, and they see him and they're like, why are we not starting this guy? This monster of a man, this talent we fell into. Why are we not starting him over this guy who may catch the ball better, but doesn't give us that explosion, that fear out of people in the backfield? DeMarco Murray, like I said, had a good year. I think it's the offensive line that helped him. But imagine a talent like Derrick Henry getting these touches. It would be insane. Like, we're talking a top-tier running back. And I think Derrick Henry is going to show people that. I all last year, Chris Whitman and I were saying the gaslight is turning on for DeMarco Murray, and sell while you can. We kind of saw him drop off at the end of the year. Derrick Henry showed us tons of flashes, and I think this guy's going to be kind of in the situation where it's like, we have to start Derrick Henry over DeMarco. The Titans are going to see that, and I see that happening. So if you have DeMarco, you better have Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think the Titans, when you look at the youth across their roster on the all, is they have a chance to really set themselves up to be an elite offense over a span of years with Mariota, Henry. They obviously drafted Corey Davis. They have Taywan Taylor, who I like a lot. They got Jonnu Smith behind Delanie Walker. So, I mean, if everyone kind of reaches their potential, the Titans could be an absolutely amazing offense. So, yeah, if you can try to buy some of those pieces on the low, I don't know if Denver, you can necessarily buy Derrick Henry on the low, because a lot of people share the same opinions that we do. But I want to keep it the running back train rolling, and I'm going to give you my trap player at running back is CJ Anderson. So you don't have to really invest a lot to get him in Dynasty, or if you have him. My biggest concern with CJ Anderson is that there's a lot of people out there that really like him, and I have a hard time understanding why. So he's been in the league for 4 years. He's started a total of 19 games. He's the guy, and I don't talent of CJ Anderson. I mean, last year he played in 7 games. Remarkable. He had a nice playoff run in 2015 when they won the Super Bowl. He single-handedly broke the Patriots back on a long touchdown run. The North remembers. So I can't get into CJ Anderson. His current startup price in Dynasty is around pick 70. Samaje Perine and after Cameron Meredith, I would actually rather have both of those players. So that actually seems pretty low for Anderson. But I'm a big Devontae Booker guy, and you got to remember that Jamaal Charles is still there. So I don't think this is a situation that necessarily gets ironed out until the season begins. But if CJ Anderson to me is a trap, if you have him on your roster, a lot of people are going to be confident that he's an RB2, and I just don't see it. So what do you guys think on CJ Anderson? Joe, I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
No, I'm with you on CJ. I used to be a fan of his when he was kind of, you know, just breaking into the league. But sure. Yeah, he's just never. I mean, he's not very durable. He doesn't really do any one particular thing really well. He's not overly powerful. He's not overly quick. He's not, you know, he's not overly elusive. So he's kind of a jag in my opinion. He's okay, but he's definitely not somebody I'm targeting in Dynasty. So I'm with you right there. I don't think Jamaal Charles is a reason. I think Jamaal Charles is, you know, just about done in my opinion, but we can talk about that another time. But the Devontae Booker, in my opinion, would be the guy to buy in that backfield, and maybe a flyer on the Coastal Carolina guy.
D'Angelo Henderson.
Exactly. Just as a late flyer. But yeah, I think Booker would be the guy I'm interested in right now.
Especially at his price. You can get Booker cheaper right now.
Yeah.
So that's the move that I would make. And CJ Anderson, I'm just that statement to have CJ Anderson on a roster.
Yeah, yeah. I got Booker in like 18th round in the Scott Fish Bowl. I got him real late.
Yeah, I got him pretty late too.
17th, I tried to get him, but he went in round 15 in mine, so I was kind of pissed that he went because I was looking to get him.
Yeah, so that was a good call.
It is what it is. Mr. CJ Anderson? CJ in the NFL, I think. Can we name four CJs? Let's do it. CJ Fedorowicz, CJ Beathard, CJ Spiller, and CJ Anderson. There, we did it. There was a nice fun exercise. All right, here's a pop quiz. What roster is CJ Spiller on right now?
I know this. Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, there we go, boys.
Yeah, we're
well
on
done.
It. We are
yeah,
on
well
it.
Done. Come Tyler.
On. Come on. Yeah.
Who's your next trap player?
My next trap player is I feel like we skipped somebody. I feel like I just went. But anyway.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go.
Oh, CJ Procise. Duh.
I was about to say that. I was like, man, that's Tyler's boy. I'm surprised he didn't say that one.
I'm just so worried about Doug cutting in and out. Hopefully the listeners bash Doug on Twitter. Tell him to fix his dial-up. I mean, he's on AOL chat right now with us. But no.
I'm no one to bash Doug.
I hate you guys.
But yeah, it's just my next one is due to time, not knowing if I'm going to get to all of these, because we have five each, but we want to keep the time to a well enough time for you not to get annoyed with us, which is 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
So you're still talking about it though?
Yeah. All right. My next one will be Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is a dynasty trap player. People saw the MVP season where he had 35 passing touchdowns and 10 rushing. And then he had a quote unquote off year last year. But oddly enough, it compared well to his last seasons he had in the NFL. And I just think the offense is as boring as vanilla ice cream. I mean, it's so boring. You know, it's a pistol offense. They're either going to hand it off. Cam's either going to run right or left and toss the ball deep. Something like that. And it's going to change with McCaffrey coming in. The draft pick of McCaffrey really baffles me when people think this offense is going to be the exact same. That draft pick of McCaffrey shows me that they're panicking and they're like, we need to figure out something special with this offense because...
Well, Samuel too.
Yeah, Samuel. I mean, I see a lot of potential. He was a running back. Now he's a receiver. But I just feel Cam isn't going to have that touchdown upside anymore. I can see 25 passing touchdowns for a top from season to season and like 7-8 rushing touchdowns per season just because it's Cam Newton and he's very selfish when it comes to those red zone running chances he has. I fear Cam is going to be out of the league way sooner than we think if he keeps getting this urge to run the ball. This is a big man, but you got to remember big men, I feel, just are a bigger target to hit. And yeah. And this, these defenses in the NFC South, I've talked about it faster. They hit harder. Tampa Bay and Atlanta's defense are vicious. They will headhunt. And I just fear for Cam. Like I kind of like his cockiness off the field because I think that's what you need in today's NFL, a quarterback that runs the ball like he does. He's different. He's not like any other quarterback. I don't want to see him leave early. I just feel like he's a trap because I don't think he's going to go back to that 2015 form. I think that's the big time outlier. And I think what we saw this year and years past is going to be his norm.
Joe, what do you think on Cam Newton? What's your take?
Well, his strength schedule this year is pretty cake, but I think
I like cake.
Yeah, it's pretty soft. But I will say this:
soft cake.
I think I hope it's soft. I mean, every cake should be soft. But anyways, the
ice cream cake,
the Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel picks, like you said, it's an evolving offense. They're trying to do something a little bit different, and I honestly am a little skeptical of it because his career, you know, passer rating or the way he doesn't really throw to the running backs very much, and he certainly doesn't throw to them very well. He's averaged since 2011 like 75 targets for running backs. I just pulled that from Jacob Rickroad.
But who has he had as a pass receiving running backs in that time?
D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart Whitaker? Certainly. No. D'Angelo Williams and Stewart are certainly good receiving backs. They're not bad.
Doug, haven't you heard?
They're above average.
Haven't you heard the recent news, Doug, that him and his son play catch from about 50 yards away? Like he can't play normal catch with his son.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I did not hear that. Right.
Yeah.
So okay. Cam Newton ranked last in completion percentage, 55.3%. And was the only starting QB with more interceptions, 5, than TDs, 1, when he was throwing to running backs. So this was last year. And that's according to Pat Thorman of PFF. He's not good at throwing to his running backs. He's got a cannon of an arm, and he likes to, you know, chuck it downfield. He's not good at these short touch passes. Like you said, he's a massive man. So I don't think this evolution of an offense is necessarily going to be in a quick fit, you know, an easy, seamless transition. I'm skeptical of it. So I'm with you.
I'm going to disagree. I actually think Cam is a bounce back candidate, and I don't think he's a trap. So I'm just going to leave it at that without too much deep analysis.
Doug,
because I want to keep this moving. So Joe, who is your next trap queen?
My next trap queen.
A little Fetty Wap for you.
So I guess the transition right into, from Cam Newton will stay on the Panthers. I'm kind of, I'm not really a huge McCaffrey guy. Not to say that I don't like his talent. I just think he's a little overrated. And you go back and you look at his stats versus the soft defenses that he played and the, pro style offense that Stanford would run with, you know, two tight ends blocking and stuff like that. I mean, he tore it up, but when he played any stiff defense, he kind of fell off a little bit. So I've just talked about Cam Newton not being able to throw very well to the running back. I think he'll hit him in the slot pretty well, but I don't think he's going to, it's not really his strength to throw out of the backfield. So I'm not as high on McCaffrey. I think his ceiling is a little bit lower than maybe, we think. I think he'll still get some, good PPR points, but I don't think he's got the upside that maybe everybody is chasing.
Tyler, what say you?
I can agree with that. I mean, I have McCaffrey at 5 in my rookie ranks. I have Dalvin Cook up there ahead of him, Mixon, Fournette, Corey Davis. And I think the fear with me is that offense. I like McCaffrey as a player. I just don't think Cam can really turn his body and head like he should when kind of just dumping off to the running back. So I would have to agree.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's still got a pretty decent floor. I just think that it's not necessarily going to be a seamless transition with Cam at quarterback. And he's still got Stewart. Stewart's still going to get 150 to 200 carries possibly as their grinder.
There's too many people that forget that. I mean, I know they obviously pick McCaffrey in the top 10, but Stewart is a guy that I'm actually targeting for my rosters as a nice veteran ad because, I mean, I think he's still effective. And let's be honest, I mean, he's a goal line back and a first two down guy where McCaffrey, I think McCaffrey could be a three down guy, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a goal line type of play. And I don't see it in his rookie year at least, but dynasty long term,
And Samuel,
I could see it.
Samuel's going to eat into those slot touches too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they have to, incorporate him to get
manufacture touches for him.
Exactly. He's still
Do you guys, I just thought of this. Would it be out of this world that Curtis Samuel may have a better rookie year than McCaffrey? Like,
no,
McCaffrey is going to get his touches, but will Samuel as a wide receiver, it seems like it's possible he could have a better year, like 700 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like he's not going to have many catches, but
I mean, he could have a season as like a poor man's Tyreek Hill.
A Ted Ginn back when he had 10 touchdowns with Carolina, he could be 80% of that. And Ted Ginn had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. I think if you're, chasing like the arbitrage or whatever of McCaffrey, I think Samuel drafting him late would be, he has an upside for sure at that cost. So I like Samuel.
I do too. Not as much as I like Samuel Adams, but I do like Curtis Samuel.
Or Samuel Jackson.
All right, so we're gonna do real quick. So, do you guys drink Sam Adams beer? Do you like Sam Adams?
Not a huge fan.
Not a big fan. No.
Screw you guys. I was gonna say cherry wheat is legit, and Sam Summer. It's the best.
It's a New England thing. So,
I was gonna say you kind of have to drink it over there.
Yeah, is it like your Bud Light over there? Pretty much.
Oh no, it's not water. It's
yeah.
I'm not a fan of Bud Light, but I'm just saying like. It's more popular than Bud Light, like how Bud Light's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, it's definitely more popular. It's especially, it's a regional thing, so I get it. But yeah, Sam Summer, if you guys on tap, if you ever have the opportunity, whew, done and done. So I'm going to go into my last trap player because we're going to start to wrap up here in a little bit. And that is Cameron Meredith. So I know Meredith came out last year, had a really nice season for the Bears, despite some shoddy quarterback play, as I guess we'll call it.
I actually thought about taking Meredith. Just a heads up. I thought about writing him down, but.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, so Cam Meredith is changing positions this year. He's going from the slot to the outside. And my biggest concern is I don't know that he has the skill set to really create separation, being an outside receiver and in led offense from the Bears. You know, Glennon is a tall man with a long neck, but he does not have a lot of arm strength. So he doesn't have a tendency to throw the ball very deep. And Cameron Meredith, I think, is going to struggle in that offense on the outside. So I think he's a bit of a trap. I think a lot of people are high on him because of what he did last year. But I think he's a total trap this year and could be, you know, I think people are relying on him to be like a wide receiver three on their rosters. But I think when it's all said and done, he might not be able to start for you week in and week out. What do you guys think?
I think if Kevin White produces a little bit, if he becomes a decent wide receiver in the NFL, not what they drafted him to be, but if he can produce, I do think Meredith has a chance to move back in the slot. They can have White on the outside, then that slew of receivers they picked up this offseason kind of manning the other side. I mean, I get the tests of pushing Meredith outside. I get that kind of testing period. But if it doesn't work out, they can just put him right back in. And
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, you've got Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, and more slot guys than Meredith.
Yeah, I'm with you, Doug, on that part. In terms of their other slot weapons, it seems like they
Victor Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to find slot receivers. So I don't think that they necessarily want to keep Meredith there, but I think he can play in the slot, you know, for sure. But I think they'll move him around. I think the plan is obviously they have other slot receivers they're trying to incorporate, but I don't know. I'm fine with him because I'm just so off Kevin White that I think Cameron Meredith is going to be, you know, their number one receiver. Now with Glennon there, I'm not like my expectations aren't super sky high. I don't think he'll finish in the top 24 or anything.
Sky high, like how high his head up is in the air.
Yeah. Like that long neck.
They call him Brontosaurus.
Yeah, he kind of does look like Brontosaurus. But yeah, I like Meredith a little bit more, but I see where you're coming from. I just am so off Kevin White, and they don't have, you know, Zach Miller may get cut because he's been having some injury concerns and stuff like that.
True.
I don't know who else they're going to throw to if Kevin White just doesn't ever step up.
The mean Shaheen.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But he's a rookie tight end from a small school. He's going to have some time to kind of acclimate to the NFL. Deion Sims. But does Deion Sims scream wide receiver one in that offense? Kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
No, I think he's a tight end.
Well, exactly. So I'm saying, like, you know, I think Cameron Meredith will still have value, but he's still going to be a Bears receiver.
No, I agree, and I have to think of next year when they actually hit that receiver market. They could be in the market for a Sammy Watkins and Alshon, like bringing Alshon back, Jarvis. And I'm a huge Equanimeous St. Brown fan from Notre Dame and Cortland
Sutton.
Surprise. One of these two players, I hope to God, does not get drafted by Chicago. Like, I think
that would be good for Meredith, you know? Like, I think that would be good for Meredith. Like, you know, Kevin White is probably a bust.
Yeah, I could see that. And Cortland Sutton could be the wide receiver one. I mean, you got St. Brown, who's a tall, tall man. And Trubisky, hopefully he pans out. Like, this offense is a lot of potential. I think Howard is the guy they will build around other than Trubisky. I mean, this line is getting older. They'll probably have to draft some linemen. But yeah, I agree with Meredith. I think he's more of a Jordan Matthews-esque, might try the outside, but then doesn't work, and then next year is thrown back into the slot.
I can see that in a range of outcomes.
I think he's better suited as a two, and maybe in that sense I'm with you there. I think he's still going to be likely the number one this year, but I see where you're going with it. I see where you're going with it. So maybe his upside is capped, which is very fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's going to wrap us up for our trap players. So hopefully you don't have any of those guys on your roster. And if you do, hey, you know what to do. Get rid of them. Bye-bye. That's what we say. But hey, you don't always have to listen to us. Go with your gut. It's your team. We're just here to try to steer you in the right direction. So I just want to give you guys a couple things before we wrap up. So don't forget to check out the website at dynastyhappyhour.com. There is brand new redraft rankings from Keaton Denley, Dynasty Frank, everyone's favorite, Gabe Gearing, and Corey Cameron. There's also updated Dynasty rankings. There's tons of new team previews. Those are coming down the pipe every few days, so you can see those coming down. All the podcasts in the Dynasty Happy Hour Network, there are currently shirts, and a brand new addition to the store is the Fantasy Tilt shirts, so keep an eye out for those. Follow us all on Twitter. You can find me at TheFantasyFather. Tyler, where can we find you?
Well, people are going to laugh. I changed my Twitter name. It's at @DHH_Tyler. I felt like that was more suited, more professional, quote unquote. So I switched it. Yeah, that's probably like what, the fifth switch.
Yeah, trying to keep everyone on their toes.
Yeah. I just want to let everyone know up front that I'm not going to switch my Twitter handle on you. So
yeah, you got. I'm here for you. One.
I don't think I can switch because it's just my last name. So I think that's I'm here to stay.
Yeah, you're set. Set. Plus, I mean, it's in the new intro and outro.
That's true.
So you guys are all stuck. And going with that, you guys, I'd like to thank Mike. He's an awesome, awesome guy. Off the camera, off the mic. I mean, this guy is one of the nicest guys I've known from the community. I'd like to thank him for doing our intro and outro. Thank you, Mike. We got to have you on for the fifth time.
You're the man, Mike.
I've tried calling Savers about getting you that jacket, the jacket.
The
MVP jacket. Honestly, I saw one at antique store. My wife and I went to Stillwater, Minnesota, and they're known for antiques. I saw a flannel plaid looking one. Ooh. And I'm like, oh, I should get this. It was so good. I should.
What was the price? What was the price? It couldn't have been that expensive.
Too much.
Really?
Too much. Yeah.
What are we talking here? How much was it?
We're talking over 40.
Okay.
But yeah,
Savers is the way to go.
I like to thank Mike, and I like to thank my good friend Matt, who is from a local radio station here. He's the guy who does the voices, the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network voice.
I'm wondering who did that.
The intro voice. He's worked at radio here forever. He's got an amazing radio voice. And he's a great friend of mine. Thank you, Matt, for everything you've done for Dynasty Happy Hour.
Absolutely phenomenal job. And before we forget, you can also follow the podcast on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. And you can also follow the new Fantasy Tilt pod on DHH Fantasy Tilt. Make sure you leave an iTunes review and you will get a shout out on the show. So 5 stars is good. Hopefully,
you'll still get a shout out. Yeah, you still get a shout out for one. I don't know how good it will be. And
it'll be like, hey, that host's internet cuts out too often, and I'm just going to go, like, jump off a cliff, so that's awesome. So with that said, we are going to wrap everything up for this week. Remind you that it's draft, trade,
wait. All right, since he cut out.
Did I fucking cut out? Are you kidding me?
What? All right, everybody. I'm going to leave that in, by the way. Everybody, remember, and don't forget, draft, trade, win, and repeat. Until next week, see you later.
Heyo.
Wait, Doug, do you say something?
Oh, awesome. I gotta go punch myself in the balls.
That's all the time we have for you today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. You can find Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at the Fantasy Father, and finally Joe at Paino, PAENO. Check out rankings, articles, and more at DynastyHappyHour.com, or follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.